We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Marshawn with a two-point game in regulation and buries the Devils in the shootout.
Excellent in the shootout. Glad to see him get a win. We don't score a lot for him in the shootout, so good for Marshy to come through.
Dale Arnold.
In the end, Robert Saleh ends up with a five-year deal for the New York Jets.
But I would think that Sam Darnold is going to return as the Jets quarterback.
Rich Keefe.
Nick Ritchie, okay, not a lot of games last year. He stinks. And, like, useless. Like, no offensive ability.
Ritchie scores for Marshawn!
Or, like, head and ass.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Slap shot shine.
And Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins!
And ladies and gentlemen, we found
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Unfortunately, we were stuck for time on the post-game show. Because we did have a post-game Zoom cut of Nick Ritchie saying, "Suck it, Keith." We just didn't get a chance to work it in.
If I can motivate him just a little bit, then it's all worth it.
Then you've done your job, right?
He sucked. I stand by everything I said yesterday. He was awful last year. I was upset that he was even on the team. But, hey, he ran into a goal last night. Maybe his last, so hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
The first thing I was thinking last night after they won the shootout, spoiler alert, Bruins win, was we need to come up with a segment before every game, who Keith thinks sucks, and that person will probably get a spite goal. Or just call the segment spite goals and have Rich just crap all over somebody that night.
Richie's going to have 30 goals this year because it's going to be him every night.
I think it was Dice or somebody on Twitter yesterday said Nick Ritchie is to the Bruins for Keith what N'Keal Harry is for the Patriots.
He is similar. There's a lot of similar descriptors that you could have for him. However,
did they use a first-round pick on him?
Was he supposed to be the offensive savior of the franchise?
And, A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin et al. Weren't drafted after him. So, no, it's a little bit different. But as far as big offensive guys who commit dumb penalties, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. There you go. Look, it was fun just to see a hockey game again.
Yeah.
We had issues before the game. We were there, fairly early to get ready for the new studio and all that, and neither Barry Peterson nor I could remember how to tie a tie. Wow. It's been a while. Haven't had to worry about that. Sit here in your quarter zip.
Leave them pre-tied, Dale. That's the smart play.
So the Boston Bruins did draft David Pastrnak 25th, which was 15 spots after the Anaheim Ducks drafted Nick Ritchie.
Wow.
Who's on top now?
What's your point?
They used a bad draft pick on Nick Ritchie.
The Bruins did not use a draft pick.
Though.
The Bruins traded. What did they trade?
Set the Ducks guys. Quack.
Part of the Kasha deal. So
wasn't it Heinen?
Wait. So that makes Pasta the Bruins Metcalf, and that makes so we have Metcalf and N'Keal Harry on the same team now.
John is now for the next 120 minutes not allowed to speak on the show after that.
Super secret probation.
So, Shyam, go ahead and start the timer for him, and once it goes off, you can fire the mic back on.
I thought Mary Poppins got me one back.
But wait, isn't the producer's box basically like a penalty box in the first place?
Yes.
Sort of is.
They got the water bottle squirting it in their mouth. They're like,
paychecks at us.
Because we had this hearty disagreement with Shyam yesterday.
Oh, I heard.
About, pro football facts. And so Shyam had to take his argument to the page, to the printed word, and had to write a piece for WEEI.com to refute us.
I was in the car yesterday driving home. I was so worked up about this. I was, like, fuming in my car.
So what anybody would say is to, you know, put that on paper, Shime. Write out your feelings.
That's exactly what I think. Yeah. Better.
Any good psychiatrist would tell you, write it out. And he did. They better be paying you for that. Same thing I say to John. He can't just be making you guys write for the website. You better be getting a little extra scratch for that.
As opposed to sitting on a beanbag in Feelings Corner or like getting under a weighted blanket, Shime, you blogged it out. I'm very proud of you. And also, I'll just let you know, A, as somebody who constantly finds Andy Hart somewhere trying to burrow under his skin, and B, someone who agrees with you, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of what you did.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Nice job, Chris.
And
go
by
the
way, I'll let you know, even though it's hockey time, Jakobi Meyers, you know who he is, Shime? He's our new Antoine Randall L, and he's going to have a great career for the Patriots.
All right,
he returns. Well, you know,
that's a pull of a name right there.
We'll do this argument. Yeah, we'll do this argument later. But I just have to ask Fitzy one simple question. Okay.
Yes.
Did you think Jakobi Meyers was the 25th best wide receiver in the NFL last
year? I'm not sure.
From week seven on.
No, that's not what they talked about.
Lie.
They did not say from week seven on. They said for the season, Fitzy. You sound like Shime. You know, I almost won that bet, but then they scored 45 points against us in the fourth quarter. I mean, for the season, did you think he was the 25th best wide receiver
but
in the NFL?
Yards per slant run is
yards per route run, Keith. So I didn't even use that,
Fitzy,
by the way.
Fitzy, answer the question.
Do I think he was the 25th best wide receiver in the NFL?
That's the question. Then Shime's wrong.
No, but I
clearly didn't read my piece.
Listen.
I even said he's not the 25th best receiver.
As someone who not only has to talk on the air, but also has to try to generate traffic and clicks as well, Dale, do not do anything. It says in the studio, please don't feed the animals, a.k.a. get Curtis going about Brady versus Wiggy, because I wanted to steal a car so I could crash it this morning, listening to the two of them argue about Brady and a referendum on his career. But also, I want to encourage Shime and Anderson to bring
these sometimes
believable, often nonsensical analytics to the page so we can debate them, and then you have crossover content.
No, when I get angry on the air, I do the same thing. It's like journaling. I'm like, do I really want to open my mouth and try to form thoughts about this right now, or do I want to write it
sports
down
debate.
Later for the website?
An old-fashioned sports debate.
That was the quickest 120 minutes of the history of radio.
Yeah, John's back, apparently.
Wasn't he just banned for 120 minutes?
He's Dr. Strange.
Was Jakobi Meyers also a product of desperation last year versus, like, would he be integrated that much in any other normal functioning offense? Because I don't know if you know this, but the Patriots had a hard time throwing touchdowns last year.
Not according to Wiggy.
Well, he didn't catch any of them.
It wasn't the quarterback's fault. And by the way, he had none of them.
He got shut out of the end zone last year. But
they didn't have a lot to begin with.
There was the one
throws a smooth pass.
I'm okay with that. Keep that in the playbook. Fine with me.
Smooth as a segue, Dale. Smooth as a segue.
We'll get into more of that as the day goes on. Bruins did win the season opener last night. My simple takeaway, having watched last night, we'll talk more with Andrew Raycroft about this, our goaltending guru. Tuukka Rask is still really good.
Yep.
And I know he had many fewer saves than Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah.
But, boy, he had about five or six that could have ended the game at any point, including breakaways in overtime, and he was great last night.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Devils aren't very good, right?
No, they're not, but
they're not very good. Like, the Bruins didn't play very well, and, like, you could tell Bruce Cassidy
dominated in the first, and then their play dropped off. But they outshot them 16-4 in the first, and Blackwood saved their butts.
Well, yeah, but like as Cassidy said, even the two goals that they allowed, you know, kind of sloppy play, some turnover led to some goals. And as you said, if Tuukka doesn't make a couple of crazy saves, the Devils score even more goals there, and they have to go to a shootout in order to get the 2 points. So you'll take the 2 points, you'll take the victory to start the season and all of that. But
hell, I'll take a shootout win. Their last one, David Backes had the winner. In February of 2019, time they won a shootout.
And the way the first two went, you were like, here we go again.
23 months ago? Yeah, I know. And like, isn't the legend that Pasternak, one of the best offensive players in the NHL, is legitimately the worst shootout guy in the NHL as well?
Well, they have lots of candidates for that.
They do. Dale, I got to tell you.
They need to get Dogavans back. That guy had the old spinorama.
Casper's Dogavans, remember?
Blow your mind.
Yeah, Do you still have your Dogavans sweater, Rich?
Oh, yeah, I got that lying around somewhere.
It has been 0 days since last Dogavans mentioned on the show.
Nobody talks about Dogavans anymore. That guy was a shootout specialist.
They should talk about him when he was here.
You know what they say at all the big radio conferences? If you want ratings, you talk to
Dogavans.
Screw Tom Brady, who's on the picture behind Fitzy. Talk some Casper's Dogavans.
Yeah, but Dale, I don't think anybody debated if Tuukka Rask was a good goalie. It was just,
No.
Can you rely on Tuukka? So when Tuukka played, like, once he shows up, once I know he's in the building, I feel like you're in good shape. But I would be always worried about him, you know, being in the building when you need him.
So every game, you're going to wonder whether he's going to be there or not.
No, every big game.
Oh, okay. It's only
I'll
big
wait
games.
Till like if they have a game at the end of the season where if it's a win and you're in, I'm going to be like fingers crossed. Somebody tell me, Fitzy, is he at his house right now? I mean, is Tuca mm-hmm. there? That's what I would need
right.
to know.
I'll be doing advanced scouting from right. the Shire, aka Tuca's shed,
mm-hmm.
on the regular. But Dale, I got to say, that save he made with 9 seconds left in overtime, there was a 2-on-none, and Tuca just, yeah. like, it's not the old, like, he stood on his head last night, Dale Arnold, but, like, the man just full splayed out and made a save that was, one, I would put in a cut-up of some of the best he's ever made, considering yeah. also that you know you're just a couple seconds away from at least having a chance to win, and you could blow it, and what an embarrassing loss that would have been if the Bruins allowed a 2-on-none to decide it with 5 seconds left in, of all places, Newark.
Right.
You can't lose in Newark. So, Keith, what was your big takeaway based on what you saw last night?
And it was what I saw last night. It's only one game. That's always right. the caveat after one game. But I was sort of coming around to this conclusion yesterday anyway, is that Torrey Krug, good player, but they won't miss him. I don't think they're going to miss him. They're too talented on the power play for all of a sudden you take him off. He was excellent at what he did, but you take him off, and that's going to cause all kinds of problems. They had 2 power play goals last night in 5 chances, and David Pastrnak's not even playing yet. Once you get Pastrnak, I think whether it's Grizzlick or whoever they decide to put there, the other 4 guys that played with Torrey Krug the last couple of years on the power play are so talented and are such good goal scorers and playmakers that I don't think there's going to be a big drop-off there. And that was what you would pay Torrey Krug for. You're not paying him for 5-on-5. You're obviously not paying him to kill penalties. So I don't think they're going to miss him. I liked him. Hey, thanks for the contributions. Thanks for that huge hit a couple years ago in the playoffs, all that stuff. But I think Don Sweeney and the Bruins made the right decision not to throw a lot of money his way, because I think their power play is still very much going to be a strength for them this season.
The tough week, though, for Bruins fans, I got to say. I mean, it's not a tough week because, A, hockey's back, and B, they got the win, albeit in a shootout last night. But to see Wednesday night a picture of Torrey Krug doing the post-game interview in a Blues t-shirt, all cut up and jacked, like,
it's
looking
weird.
So happy.
It is weird.
Because he is sitting on a giant pile of money, so I think I'd be that happy if I had that much money, too, as much as I may miss my teammates on the Bruins. Excuse me. And then Chara last night with the Caps, like, ooh, that is a 1-2 punch to the merchandise rooting soul and heart of Bruins
weird.
Fans this week. Mm-hmm. It really is. That's a tough one, too.
Char played a lot of minutes. He played 21 minutes.
20 minutes or whatever it was, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he looks weird in the white Caps jersey. We were showing the highlights post-game, and Billy just sort of said quietly, because our mics were off, he says, he looked bigger and tougher in black. And he does. Yeah, everybody looks bigger
taller
and tougher
in white,
black.
Though, I feel like. He's pretty tall.
he looks a little circus-like in the Caps colors, but he always looked menacing in Bruins colors. I agree mm-hmm. with you, Dale.
Mm-hmm. Does he look faster? That was Wiggy's contention, that he looks faster in white.
I don't know if that much faster.
when I was in high school, I wore white baseball cleats because I convinced myself that you look faster if you wear white baseball cleats.
Hmm.
But I don't
I can
think
see
that,
that
helps it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you a white shoes guy in your football career as well?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, whatever kind of popped is what I would go for. So yeah,
I was a white shoe. I was an all-white outfit guy, but that was out of necessity because I was so fat when I played football, that's all they could find to fit me. Including my white helmet, which took 8 weeks to find my freshman year because my head was so big, I couldn't actually play football. And then when my fat self finally made it onto the field with an 8.25 helmet, the largest in the state of Massachusetts, my teammates on Braintree High yelled, "Hey, look, it's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man."
Ow. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get some high school photos of Fitzy, of Rich, and of Andy Hart, and try to determine who had the biggest head.
Yeah. Some big heads there.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to win.
Yeah. Well, Andy Hart's melon is pretty large, too.
I didn't miss any games due to the fact that they were trying to find a helmet for me, so I think Fitzy would probably take that one.
They legit, guys, the equipment manager for the Eagles, the BC Eagles and the Patriots came down to Braintree High with a hockey bag, Dale, of helmets. I tried all of them on, and he turned to my tough-as-nails coach, Mike Tassoni, and just said, "Coach, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do for him. This guy's got a giant head."
What a squash on this guy.
And that ended the dream right there.
That's it.
You stop playing football.
So how relieving was it to you when you finally got a helmet you could fit over your ears? I mean,
how relieving
God.
Was it
yeah.
to be so far behind that I got in for a play my freshman year?
Hell of a play, though, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Oh, man. What a season. What a year. And yet still, for somebody who had like so little impact on their high school's program and just football on the whole, I think I'm talked about more than anybody from the South Shore in football. Just because people are like, you should have seen the size of the squash on this Steve. Yeah, the guy who's Fitzy. Yeah, that guy's head has like, you can drop a cup near his head and it'll go into orbit. It's so big.
He got on the field for one play, and then it took four sticks of butter to get the helmet off.
Yeah, like Todd Collins, former Washington football team and Buffalo Bills quarterback, used to routinely just whip us on a regular basis. Is he mentioned nearly as much as me and my geosynchronous orb? Titan? No.
No.
Because his head is normal size.
Because he's a normal sized person.
Correct.
He's not strapped, like, looking like me, looking like the guy from Modern Family with, like, a Macy's Parade head. It's awful.
Man. Well, now we've learned way more than we ever thought we need to know about Fitzy's head size. And now if you go buy a regular cap,
you went to buy Fenway Park.
Still can't.
No, I can't. I have to order my hats off the internet. I can't go to like Lids or the
it's
Pro
like
Shop
Shaquille
and just
O'Neal
be like,
get shoes.
Hey, do you guys?
It's the same store.
Hey, I'm sorry. Do you guys have a Coleman tent that has the Patriots logo on it that I can, with a brim? Doesn't
you,
work.
You go to Lids. You're like, you got a nine. I'm sorry, sir. What?
What?
How many times, Rich, the assistant nine? Coach, Coach Bachman, who was the defensive line coach and also the wrestling coach at Braintree High, used to always say like, Stevens, hey, if this doesn't work out, at least I'll have a friggin' punch bowl for my potties when you're done.
I think there was some bullying going on here.
Some.
That's what my point is.
Go ahead, keep eating it, fat boy.
But you probably at least got to keep the helmet because there's literally no use for it after you left. They're like, hey,
no,
just,
they
just
kept it around JIC. Like, okay. I think it was used by like one other person, but of course they put in like real padding. They had to like strip the padding away for me to get in there. For all I know, I may have died of a concussion on the one play I was in, and this is all a joke.
It's like a fifth dimension sort of thing where we're on the head of a pin. Fitzy's actually dead now, but he's doing talk radio with us.
This is like my Jacob's ladder, Rich.
Oh, my God. That is the sad tale.
So but you know what?
You bounced back nicely. Look at that. Didn't affect your life at all.
No, not in the least. And I thought when you said when you were talking about white shoes, you'd either go the Billy White Shoes Johnson route, one of the most famous white shoes wearers in the NFL,
sure.
Or Rich, I thought maybe you would have gone the Reno Hightower, the Best of Times mentioned. Like that's one of the best pop culture. Come on.
No, I didn't go. Sorry, I didn't. No, I didn't go there. Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Take a lap.
My white baseball shoes in high school were Hyde Spot Builds, which were made here in Massachusetts.
That's not a real thing.
It's a real thing. Hyde Spot Builds, made here in Massachusetts. And their signature – now, these are baseball cleats, right? They're not like, you know, all turf surf. They're baseball cleats, metal baseball cleats. And on the box it says, O.J. Simpson. I was thinking, now I know why he's so good. I mean, this is why he was the only celebrity endorser they had.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly.
Nice.
O.J. Simpson was the big Hyde Spot. He was wearing Hyde Spot Builds when he was running for 2,000 yards in the National Football League. He had Bruno Mollies on when he had a more ominous night of his life.
Yeah. A different run.
Yeah.
He had a white
First
Bronco,
of all, Dale,
too.
Hyde Spots, Hyde Spot Builds.
And they just brought
builds.
Those back last year, by the way.
Yep.
They retired the white Bronco for a long time. And they said, you know what?
Yeah,
people,
we got to bring that back.
People want the white Bronco.
That Dale,
they let
that
the O.J. trial
Spots
breathe
built.
Just long enough.
Just enough. It's over now.
What? I've never heard of that shoe. That sounds like the name of somebody in the Hall of Fame who pitched like back-to-back-to-back no-hitters.
I looked it up. They became Saucony.
Oh, okay.
But they started out as Hyde Spot Built. they were – and by the way, the built is B-I-L-T. It's not like B-U-I-L-T. It's Spot-Built. They were headquartered in Waltham, and
shoe capital of the world.
Their one big guy was O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, that's pretty legit.
I bet they're proud of that association through the years, huh?
Yeah, but I feel like they don't really get it. They're not like Hertz Rent a Car that's like synonymous with them.
Rich,
like
if you go on
YouTube.
If you go on YouTube, though, that O.J. Simpson commercial where he's like, oh, Mrs. Anderson, your bag. And then, like,
and
he leaps all the chairs in the airport. Impressive film. No stunt man.
I mean, whoever, you know, designed that probably made $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good ad.
And has metaphorical blood on their hands. And
wow.
Can't sleep at night.
Sounds like Fitzy dreaming about his high school athletic career, too.
That's all right.
Good times.
Yeah.
Any other sports besides football, Fitzy?
Me? Yes. Yeah. I was a...
Please tell me hockey. I want to picture how they were getting a Jofa.
Actually, I was a NASCAR driver for many years.
Yes, of all the things, Dale, I was able to shed almost half my body weight, and I became a Bay State champ discus thrower. Believe it or not,
your head didn't get in the way.
I swear to God, that's exactly what I was going to guess.
What?
Are you kidding?
Discus thrower?
Yeah,
you're
yes,
one of the
that's
great
right.
discus throwers of our time.
I didn't predict the weight loss, but.
I tapped into my Greek heritage and became a proud Olympian.
Traveled back to Sparta.
Wait a minute.
That's right. And
so you're
the
one of
funny
the great
thing
discus
is,
throwers of our time. I didn't know that. That's really impressive. That's good. So if we had a discus challenge at the station, you would dominate.
Oh, are you
okay.
kidding?
Interesting. I like it.
My arms are too short. I would lose.
Yeah, it's. I have no idea how or why I got into it. It wasn't like I was coming off of a Tron fascination or something. It just, I needed to do something. I had to do something. And I liked working with the coach, and most of my friends were on the track team, so I found my random weird niche. Like I
Did
was
you
the
think
guy
about doing
who...
it in college.
Oh no! On the NYU Washington Square Park Central Park track team.
No, you didn't. I mean, listen, you didn't have to go to NYU. You could have gone somewhere else and tossed the old disc.
Yeah, I could have, and I could have gone somewhere else and had a normal college life and been happy, as opposed to going to school with a bunch of other nerds and weirdos and talking about film the whole time. But I made the decisions I made.
It's really the butterfly effect. You know, it was the decision that you made, you know.
Right.
You
got accepted. Most of you guys can go places where you can have normal dating lives and campus parties and fraternities and light beer. And you can also go where I went and, like, almost get in a fist fight discussing the merit of Star Wars versus the French New Wave. You know, different choices, each his own, Rich.
Dale, I think we're peeling back many layers of the onion here today.
I mean, we've
got
one
big
more,
head story. Next thing you know, he's upset with his college choice. we're having a real day here.
I mean, I feel so bad for him now.
Yeah,
don't.
I'm sitting here pitying this guy.
He's a Bay State champion discus thrower. We shouldn't feel bad for him.
He's one of the heroes
of our time, Dale.
And I'd like to remind you that I was so uncomfortable in my own skin, I had to create an alter identity on YouTube to work my way back home. And by the way, my alter ego has an Emmy Award, and I don't. So there you go.
It's a paradox, really.
That's right. But... Just to prove how useless awards are, Fitzy has an Emmy, so there you go.
Congratulations.
So congratulations.
Yes.
And let's go Bruins, huh?
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. How about
that
win?
It's not that big a deal. I mean, they're in everybody's house.
Right. That's the whole thing. Basically, you get a condo in Massachusetts these days, and they're
comes with an Emmy.
What's it going to take? All right, the HOA really wants you. We'll throw in an Emmy.
Well, this show's on Twitch now, so are we eligible for like a daytime
for an Emmy?
Can we win one of those?
Or like a
Twitch?
Webby, Shime? Can we get a Webby, Shime?
I think we can be at the Twitch Awards.
All right, put us in for that.
Is that a thing?
Yes, there are Twitch awards every year.
Put us in for that. Put us on the docket.
Okay.
I tweeted out a photo for you lads of Hyde's spot-built football shoes.
Hmm.
They were a thing, I promise. I mean, I don't know when they stopped making them. Or when Hyde spot-built became Saucony. Because the picture that I found, I think that's the Saucony logo.
They don't look fast.
Well, those are football shoes there.
Or clean.
They're called the White Monster. You could see that on the box.
No, I wouldn't wear them.
Oh, my God,
wouldn't,
Dale.
Wouldn't be caught dead in those.
Dale, good Lord. You could run about a 10-second 40-yard dash in these things. Dear God.
Oh, I didn't have shoes like these. These are football shoes.
But there's that sweet Saucony look. Who among us doesn't love a good old pair of Sauconys, right?
I had it was just like a really thin, like, Nike white cleat with, like, a little red, like, swoosh on it, because our team color was red. And then you could get... them customized, like when you ordered them off of like eBay or whatever, you could get, there was a spot for three either letters or numbers on the back of the shoe.
Oh, nice.
So obviously I got 6-mo written on the back.
How could you not?
You know, when they were seeing me run into the end zone, it was 6-mo. So that's what I would have on the back.
Nice, Rich.
Yeah.
Did you wear those when you went to Hobart?
No, there was not a lot of 6-mos happening in Hobart, so I did not wear those. And we were different team colors, so those were retired in high school. Yeah.
Well, now we know more than we ever thought we'd know. We'll get more into the Bruins when Andrew Raycroft joins us at 10:45. But a big weekend of playoff football, And we'll get an opportunity to talk about a lot of that as well. Michael Irvin, has the time has shuffled back and forth a couple times, but we're fairly certain now he'll be with us at 1:30 today. We've got Kiefer Madness Week in Review. We've got Free Money Friday. We've got so much stuff to pack in here. And we'll get to it in just a couple of minutes with you guys. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Hey, jump a party. Get in there and throw that football.
You always have to take things too far, don't you?
On WEEI.
So I had a slight disagreement with Wiggy. I have a feeling it ended up being more of a semantic argument. Wiggy made the point on the Greg Hill Show this morning that the playoff game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday is the biggest game of Tom Brady's career. So I acknowledged that of all of the players and coaches participating this weekend, in my opinion, he has the most at stake. We may disagree with that, but that's fine.
I disagree. Yep.
He's had at least six games that I think are bigger than this one.
How about nine?
Oh, I said at least six. There was three others that he didn't win that were still
probably
bigger.
But the game was bigger, though.
Oh, I know, I know.
It's at least nine, or conference championships, or, I mean, it depends on how you view it, but you could even say, you know, the Raiders game, if you're talking divisional rounds games, the Snow Bowl, which Wiggy was a huge part of, probably a bigger game for Tom Brady, because who knows what was going to happen and everything else, how that all plays out. If they lose on a snowy night in Foxborough to the Raiders, what the hell? We don't know what happens.
The pass is dropped by Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end.
But I feel like there's been so many games bigger for Tom Brady. Because I kind of view this as, yes, they should advance further than the divisional round.
Yes.
I think it'll be a bad season if they don't do that. However, in the 21-year history of Tom Brady, it's not like he left the Patriots and it was a disaster. Right, he got a non-playoff team into the playoffs and they won a playoff game. Again, I know that they should go a little bit further than that, but when we look back on it, it's sort of like Joe Montana left and went to the Chiefs and made a conference championship game and whatever. Well, yeah, was he as good as he was with the Niners? No, but it wasn't a disaster and like whatever. Like Tom Brady has already far past gotten the without Belichick he can't win, or at 43 he can't win, or away from New England he can't win. He already went 11-5 and won a playoff game, so I don't think this is the biggest game of his career. I don't even think it cracks the top 10.
No, it doesn't crack the top 10, but there's kind of two ways to look at it, and both are logical, and I know that doesn't work necessarily in sports radio because it's got to be Brady or like, it's Bill Belichick. Guys, it's as simple as this. Tom Brady, all he had to do to be successful in Tampa Bay, but this was even
throw
before
40 touchdown passes.
Well, I mean, but Dale, like, this is before he even, like, recruited Antonio Brown or recruited Gronk and got him to come out of retirement and brought in his buddy Antonio Brown. All he had to do was cut down on the number of mistakes by Miss Winston, who threw 35 or 33 picks last year and threw 33 touchdowns. So throw as many touchdowns as Winston. He threw seven more and cut down on the picks. He actually threw 24 less because Tom Brady is a wildly more accurate quarterback. Now, we think that he had an incredible season. Yeah, 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns. That is amazing. But he took his talents, per se, to a loaded football team. To me, Tom Brady's personal season, statistically speaking and showing his abilities, Rich, is a success. But the entire Tampa Bay, or rather the Tampa Bay experiment, mortgaging your future and going for it, knowing you're going to probably lose Godwin, you could lose Gronk, you could lose Brown, etc. That will be a failure to me if they don't advance to the NFC Championship. You have to go further than just one playoff win against a team with a losing record and an XFL backup quarterback to
be a
success.
But I think what helps Brady in any kind of, you know, how big of the game is and Brady legacy arguments and anything like that, even though we all know the legacy's kind of set in stone, but it's the fact that the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. So it's not like he's even going neck and neck year one when he left and Bill Belichick's, you know, his decision to sign Cam Newton and play him all season long. Well, they stunk. They were a non-playoff team, and we're talking about the draft as it relates to the Patriots. So Brady already has it. Like every time Brady wins now, it's just kind of stretching that lead. Like he's already up big. And we'll see. Maybe the Patriots bounce back next year, and maybe Bill finds a way to turn that team into a winner somehow, and maybe the Bucs aren't as good or whatever. But as of right now, like, it's kind of house money for him. Although, again, I think for him individually, I think the team, though, I'm with you, Fitzy, they need to get to the next round. They need to get to the next round.
Well,
and if they play the Packers and lose, then I don't think it's a failed season necessarily.
And that's Agreed. Why, of the players and coaches in action this weekend, I think Tom Brady's got the most at stake. Because if he does lose this game to New Orleans, then this season is a failure. It's a failure for him if he loses this week. If he loses to Green Bay in the NFC Championship game, I'm with Rich. It's not a failure. You get that team to the NFC Championship game and you lose to Aaron Rodgers at snowy Lambeau. Hey, stuff happens. But I do think he's got the most riding on what happens this weekend.
See, I don't. I think he has won 6 Super Bowls and he at least won a game this year in the playoffs. To me, it is Aaron Rodgers, and I think it's pretty significantly in the favor of Aaron Rodgers having the biggest weekend ahead of him, because he's the MVP, or will be the MVP again. He is probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but he's sitting on 1 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's probably running out of real good opportunities to win another Super Bowl. Brady's won 6, for God's sakes. And if you want to put Aaron Rodgers, I think if Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl this year, there is a legitimate Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning discussion. But I don't think you have that unless Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning only won 2, but one of them, he was literally carried there. It was all the defense. He won 2 in his career. Now he's won, I think Peyton Manning won 5 MVPs. This will be 3 for Aaron Rodgers. The stats are off the charts with Aaron Rodgers. And you can argue whether wins are solely a quarterback stat or not. But I think for Rodgers to be in that argument for top 4, I think he has a legit argument, top 5 quarterback of all time, but he needs to win another Super Bowl, and this might be one of the best teams that he has had, and to me they're the favorite in the NFC, so you certainly can't lose in the divisional round at home to the Rams. That's why I think for him it's the most important game.
There's so obviously the stakes are so much higher. I think there's a number of guys that have a ton to lose this weekend. It's too early to say Josh Allen has a ton to lose because he's never gone so far in the playoffs. But it's not house money either, because we're all big believers in the fact that this is a loaded Bills team that should be able to challenge the Chiefs, perhaps, for the AFC Championship. Patrick Mahomes, considering the talent they have around them, they're only going to be able to afford the talent that they have for so long. And Shime and I have been in on this idea that the Chiefs have kind of like gotten by on talent and will, haven't turned it on. And he's been sneaky lucky with that NFL record 16 dropped interceptions this year. So if they're that good and you're going up against the Browns, who are feeling themselves right now and getting 2 cornerbacks back, by the way, sneaky great stat on Denzel Ward. He has never allowed more than 80 yards in a game he started in his career. That kid's good. He's not Jalen Ramsey good.
No, he's good.
But he's sneaky good.
Don't you think the Chiefs already carry themselves like they are a dynasty?
Yes.
They're not a dynasty, but they feel
no,
like
they're
they
not.
Think they're one.
Rich,
they're
on
the way.
They talked.
Right?
They lost a conference championship game in overtime to a team that won the Super Bowl. Then they won the Super Bowl, and now here they're back as the top seed. So they're on their way, but it's just, even when you watch their games, like when they play down to the level of competition, that just strikes me as a team that's like, oh, yeah, like we just roll the balls out and we're going to be Super Bowl champs again. And they might, but that would really knock them down a peg or two. If they lost at home to the Browns, what's the spread in that game now, Shime? It's got to be double digits.
It's
still
10, right? And Kansas City hasn't covered a spread since week 9. So I don't understand why they're making this number so big.
Say what? Since week 9,
they have not covered a spread since week 9. Because what Vegas has done is they've juiced all those spreads for Kansas City, and they've played down to their competition every single week.
There's some info that would have been useful the previous 9 Free Money Fridays.
Yeah, so I thought it would just end eventually.
He meant to tell you that, Fitzy. He just didn't want to bet against the street.
I
would have yelled at me if I ever bet against the Chiefs. Come on now.
I love betting against the Chiefs. I love rooting against the house. Are you kidding me? There's nothing I want to see more. I'm rooting my ass off for the Bills Saturday night because I want them to take on the Chiefs next week and beat them. And to me, I've said before on the show, I'll say it again, the most entertaining Super Bowl would be the Buccaneers making it and the Bills making it and the Bills being like, we did it. And then there's the clown outside their window, Tom Brady once again going, hey, guys, I would love to see that. That's great theater to me.
Because we root for chaos. I did look up the National Weather Service. Quote, as of Thursday, the forecast for Orchard Park calls for periods of snow Saturday night with 1 to 3 inches of accumulation. If lake effect snow bands park themselves over Bills Stadium, we could see even more than that.
Snow game. Bring on.
Winter is coming.
I want all the snow in that game.
Give now, how is Lamar going to play in that crap?
He doesn't
run, run,
to.
Run.
Unknown.
But that,
the
see,
guy's never played in the snow.
He's never done it.
I think that favors the Bills big time.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I would assume Josh Allen played in a couple of snow games in Wyoming and Buffalo. Like, that guy is, he is built for
it. But at the same time, their offense is predicated on throwing the football.
They throw a lot more.
Which is difficult when it's snowing.
I don't know. Every time we said that when Brady,
Tom Brady
was here,
would light it up
he would come out firing.
He's
when
Tom
it was
Brady.
Snowing.
I think he's kind
no,
of the
I
exception
understand.
To the rule.
Yeah,
but
idea
I think it depends. Like, is it a
because Vince Young in the snow had like -5 yards. So.
Vince
Josh
Young,
Allen, Vince
stunk.
Young, please.
No,
Vince
I know. I it's
stunk.
Not an
Show
apt comparison,
out.
But I'm just saying.
Take a lap.
There's
no, I think it depends on like is it super windy and is it like the visibility really bad with snow or is it just like hey there's snow on the ground and there's like big flakes like Josh Allen has a rocket for an arm he'll be able to slice it.
We're looking at big days for Ravens tight end Mark Andrews and Cole Beasley for the Bills.
Okay, yeah, Shyam, I just want to point out
Checkdown City
in 2008 when Matt Cassel filled in for Tom Brady. One of the best games he had was in December of 2008. Against the Cardinals, who basically got off the bus, and the Pats hung 48 on them. I think the final score was 48-7. They chucked the ball all over the yard that day, and the Cardinals did nothing. So you can do it.
I think when I look at the four games, and by the way, the way they've scheduled these, and they're pretty smart about this stuff, I love the fact that both night games are the ones that I care the most about. Baltimore and Buffalo is Saturday night at 8:15. Tampa Bay and New Orleans is the late game Sunday. It's at 6:40.
Perfect.
They don't play as late. It's exactly what you want to see. Rams and Green Bay, 4:35 on Saturday. I think Green Bay's a dramatically better team. I think, you know, the Rams
that's
are
the
coming
only
to
game,
Lambeau.
Like, if you, I mean, I'm going to watch every second of all four, but if you had to miss one, that's the clear-cut game to miss, I think.
Yeah. There's a slight, and I know we'll get into this a little bit more later, but like there's a slight like what if Aaron Donald and the Rams defensive line wrecks the Packers O-line dreams.
Oh, that's their
you know
chance.
What I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's that good. He can he can do that all by himself almost when he wants to. And while Lamar Jackson doesn't want to play in the snow this weekend, my guess is Aaron Donald doesn't give a good GD where you play it or when or against who. He doesn't care.
Family Radio, Dale Arnold. Yeah.
I cleaned it up as quickly as I could. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Bruins started the season with a shootout win last night against the New Jersey Devils. One of our regulars here, our goaltending guru, Andrew Raycroft, had a tweet about Tuukka's play last night. We'll discuss it with him when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe recapping last night's Bruins win.
Brad Marchand with a chance to send the Bruins home as a winner in game one. Does it?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, let's go. There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of my way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too. Are you even old enough to drive?
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, former NHL goaltender, current Nesson hockey analyst, Emmy Award-winning actor, Andrew Raycroft. Andrew is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, guys. Good to be back. Hope everyone's doing well.
Everybody's doing well. I got to be honest, though, you disappoint me. I mean, you disappoint me. I follow along on Twitter last night as we're working, watching the game, and I see this tweet out from Andrew Raycroft saying, Tuukka's absolutely got to have that second goal. Do you watch the games, Andrew, for crying? I'm kidding.
Oh, man, I couldn't resist. And I know it's an easy one. It's low-hanging fruit, but I really just couldn't resist getting that one out. I was just so excited the season was starting, and the first random Tuukka goal to get everybody fired up about.
Andrew, one of my takeaways kind of going into the season, and then it played out a little bit last night, and it's not meant to be a real criticism of Torey Krug. It's just that he went and signed for a lot of money with St. Louis, and I just feel like this team is probably not going to miss him all that much. I still think they're going to be really effective on the power play, and he obviously has never been, you know, the world's greatest 5-on-5 defender. So am I crazy to think that, you know, he's going to move on and they're probably going to be just fine?
I don't think that's crazy. I think there's going to be nights where you wish you had him in the lineup, but I think overall I tend to lean your way, especially with the amount of money he got. I think also the other thing to look at is the guys that are on that power play unit know exactly what everybody's saying, and those guys have a lot of pride in their game, and I'm assuming that Brad and Patrice and David have talked and said, listen, Torrey was a good player, but we're the reason why this power play was so good. We're the reason he had the points on the power play, and let's go out and prove that. And I would imagine that's how it usually goes in the NHL. When guys leave, as much as they'll say great things and a great teammate, at the same time, they want to prove that it's actually them that are the ones for their success.
Andrew, I know you wanted to fire up the base, and it's real easy to get Bruins fans going when we used to be allowed to be together, but especially on social media when you criticize Tuukka. But on the whole, last night, you have to be pretty impressed with the way he came through when it mattered, especially bending over backwards with, less than 6 seconds left to save the Bruins in overtime and get them to the shootout.
He was fantastic all night. And again, that tweet about the goal was straight sarcasm. He was great in the first period as well. New Jersey's got a lot of young guys. They were flying through the neutral zone. They were taking the puck wide, and Tuukka was standing in there. Would score the goal in the third period, but he had two or three similar chances even in the first period. He took a penalty on one. Tuukka made saves on all of those plays. So right from the start, I think, the offensive chances that Tuukka had to make were quite impressive. So, I saw 20 saves, but it felt like a lot more, and a lot of those were high quality. So it was as good of a start you can have for Tuukka, and he made the three saves in the shootout. And that's something that the Bruins haven't gotten over the years. They haven't been good in shootouts scoring-wise, but they also haven't had a goalie, make the three saves that they need to get going and finally make a save at the end, or make get a goal at the end. So good on Tuukka. It was a good start for him.
I think that it was probably time for the Bruins and for Zdeno Chara to move on, and they have. I did have a concern on his departure, and I saw it again last night. Bruce Cassidy talked about it post-game. Miles Wood running Tuukka on a couple of occasions. Kevin Miller wanting to fight Miles Wood, but he wants no part of it. They have to protect their goaltender better than they did last night.
They do. The game's changed, though, and those guys going to the net, those little 5'10" Miles Wood flying to the net with their heads down, I mean, he's not going to fight Zdeno Chara either. If he's not fighting Kevin Miller, he's not fighting Zdeno Chara. And I think in that respect, it's a team toughness kind of thing. You saw Miles Wood get penalties last night for doing that. The referees are protecting goalies more. The league has sent a memo to the refs. We need to get this away. This can really hurt guys, whether it's a goalie, whether it's a defenseman barreling into the net. We need to take this away and protect the guys a little bit. So certainly there's going to be nights where you're going to miss that Zdeno team toughness. There's guys that in the league, there's a few guys left that can bully people around, and Zdeno was the big guy not doing that. But most of the teams don't have that anymore. There's just really not a lot of it. And they have to find a way to angle those guys off maybe a little sooner than they did last night. But overall, I think they're going to be okay without team toughness once Miller gets going and they have some of these other guys, that fourth line gets going.
We haven't talked to you in a little while. So were you okay with Zdeno Chara going somewhere else and the Bruins deciding that, all right, if we did bring him back, he was going to have a limited role? Or would you have liked to see one more go at it?
No, it seems from what everybody's saying, and it seems amicable. It doesn't seem like there was a lot of drama with it. I think, we heard everybody talk. All the cards were on the table, and everybody made the decision that they wanted to make. It wasn't, they gave Zdeno a few options. Zdeno gave the Bruins a few options, and it seems like both made those decisions. I think it's hard as an NHL player to give it up, especially if you still think you can help a team win a Stanley Cup. That's hard to walk away from, especially as you get older. When you're 30, 31, 32, 33, you might not be smart enough and say, I'm good, I'm done. But when you don't see the guys 40 walk away if they still feel like they can play, because they know how great it is and what a lifestyle it is and how much they're going to miss everybody. So I don't think that anybody did anything wrong in this situation. I think it's pro hockey. And legends, I played with Matt Sundin in Toronto, and there's no one as big of a legend as him. And he went and played in Vancouver for a year, which is basically the equivalent of the Canadian rivalry of Washington-Boston. It's not old school, but it's a rivalry nonetheless. Vancouver hates Toronto and vice versa, and Boston hates Washington. So it's a similar situation. It happens often. It's just the Bruins haven't had a legend here like that since Ray Bourque. So it feels a little closer to the skin right now.
Yeah, if only Boston or New England on the whole was familiar with seeing a legend in his 40s walk away in sports. It seems like a unique storyline.
Yeah.
I'm much more focused on the Bills right now.
Oh wow! Okay, I was gonna ask you who you were rooting for this weekend, because I know you're a big football fan as well. But just checking your Twitter, how's that dry January working out for you?
I'm still hanging in. I'm pumped. I'm like over the hill. I'm doing really well. So
what a horrible idea, though. All the way through. Whose idea is this? Why would you torture yourself like that? I don't get it.
I don't get football with like playoffs without beer is the worst.
No, I know, but every once in a while you have to test the brakes. You have to test the brakes every once in a while.
Gotcha.
2020 was a long year for everybody, like we know. So I needed to show myself some discipline. That's all.
All right. Good luck.
So Brad Marchand, Brad Marchand scored the Bruins' first power play goal last night. They assisted on Nick Ritchie's power play goal, which Keefe was rooting for.
Yeah, he was due.
He then scored the shootout winner for the Bruins. He claims that with the sports hernia that he had fixed in the offseason, he played the last couple of seasons at about 80%. Are you kidding me? He's got 20% more than what we've seen over the last 2 years.
It's scary to think, and I guess he proved it in game one with the outing he had, and that's without David Pastrnak on his line, and you know there's still some more rope there for these guys. So I think it's just positive that he's healthy. It's positive too that he got through training camp and he's playing in game one. I know it was up in the air when they first started, so for him to feel this good and nothing tweaked, nothing got worse is good on him for the rehab he did, the hard work he did in the off season, the really long off season, but also really good for the Bruins that he was able to make it through. They got a lot of games in a short period of time coming up.
Andrew, we always appreciate talking some Bruins with you. I'll see you at some point at Nesson, God knows when, but at some point soon.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
See you, pal.
Enjoy the football.
Thanks. Yeah.
We will.
Good luck with that.
Enjoy your water
January.
Or soda, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think they're counting on you making this.
Oh, no, man. I mean, no, listen, I'm rooting for you.
I've gotten a lot of that, believe me, yeah. A lot of it. But I'm
football.
I'm going to try and get through this weekend.
Football and a nice, crisp apple juice. There's nothing like it.
Oh, that's the tops.
See you, Andrew.
Look out, Super Bowl, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Be
good point.
Two kegs in my house.
Yeah, at least that's February.
We're coming up. Don't tempt us. We'll be there.
It kind of defeats the whole purpose of a dry January if you black out the first weekend in February. But all right.
See you, Andrew.
I'll see you.
Bye, guys.
All right.
I'd like to see Andrew laying there. Yeah. Mouth open, drool coming out.
I think
of
February 1st we're going to go hang out.
Imagine Raycroft doing a keg stand.
Oh, yes.
The best. I would guess he did many.
Yeah, I would say so.
He's a wild.
He's a hockey guy, man.
Not to
broad brush it.
Booze bags.
Booze bags.
But not
hanging out with so many of them in high school and college. Like these guys, they get after it. The hockey players.
I remember after we lost the state championship my junior year, and people came into school the next day, and you could smell. They smelled like beer.
It's gross. It's different than any other sports group of guys. They get after it.
They sweat beer.
Yeah.
Where were you when my daughter was getting engaged to a Hobart hockey player? I mean, you could have given me all this info that would have made
trying
my
to, trying to
my
let
life.
You know those know. Guys. Those guys are a different breed.
Yeah, Dale, you didn't know this on your own. I mean, as the Nesson Bruins studio host, as a lifetime hockey guy, what did you think they were like?
That Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I have the complete story about that Bill, and you can read it next September in my book that comes out. It's Dale. And,
come on, don't do that to us.
That is a long time.
I know.
Good God,
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy Sports Radio WEEI.